Your Bibles, please, for our second reading to Ezekiel chapter 19. Ezekiel chapter 19, verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. Moreover, take thou up a lamentation for the princes of Israel, and say, what is thy mother? A lioness. She lay down among lions. She nourished her whelps among young lions. And she brought up one of her whelps. It became a young lion, and it learned to catch the prey. It devoured men. The nations also heard of him. He was taken in their pit, and they brought him with chains into the land of Egypt. Now when she saw that she had waited and her hope was lost, then she took another one of her whelps and made him a young lion. And he went up and down among the lions and he became a young lion and learned to catch prey and devoured men. And he knew their desolate palaces, and he laid waste their cities. And the land was desolate, and the fullness thereof by the noise of his roaring. Then the nations set against him on every side from the provinces and spread their net over him. He was taken in their pit. And they put him in ward in chains and brought him to the king of Babylon. They brought him into holds that his voice should no more be heard upon the mountains of Israel. Thy mother is like a vine in thy blood, planted by the waters. She was fruitful and full of branches by reason of many waters. And she had strong rods for the scepters of them that bear rule. And her stature was exalted among the thick branches. And she appeared in her height with the multitude of her branches. But she was plucked up in fury. She was cast down to the ground. And the east wind dried up her fruit. Her strong rods were broken and withered. The fire consumed them, and now she is planted in the wilderness in a dry and thirsty ground. And fire is gone out of a rod of her branches, which hath devoured her fruit, so that she hath no strong rod to be a scepter to rule. This is a lamentation, and shall be for a lamentation. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. Clear as the bright summer sun. So, what are we talking about here in this section? Well, I think it's fairly clear, first of all, that We're going to take up a lamentation for the princes of Israel, as Ezekiel will say in verse 1. But Israel here is not Israel like the northern kingdom as separated from the southern kingdom. Israel here is just the people of God considered together. And the history of it, I think, points to two particular kings toward the end of Judah, near to the fall of Jerusalem. And I think that we will have Patrick Fairbairn also for that. So in these next few chapters, in chapters 19, 20, 21, and so on, we're going to have judgment pronounced on the people of God. Now, this judgment that is pronounced here is pronounced, first of all, as a lamentation. The word in the Hebrew, the word lamentation, it reads like a funeral march or a dirge in that sense. That there's going to be something that happens to Judah here, to Jerusalem, to the lioness, if you will, that really she will never recover from. And it's an interesting thing to think about that although there was a restoration after the captivity in Babylon, that really the nation was never the same again. There were some things, some artifacts that were never recovered and brought back and set up in the worship of God in even the subsequent temples that were built. some of those things were never recovered. They're still wondering where the Ark of the Covenant ended up. Some people think Ethiopia and some mountain, and there's some cave up there where they've found the Ark of the Covenant. People want to find it because they think it's a supernatural artifact and it holds some powers. Or, of course, all of that's high superstition, has nothing to do with reality. It may be, however, that that box still exists somewhere with its cherubim-clad lid. I rather think, however, it's been taken apart by looters and that gold long gone. But we don't know for sure. What is for sure is that the Ark of the Covenant never came back to the temple. And other things that were taken away were never put back in place. I remember reading a history once when Antiochus Epiphanes, during the days of Judas Maccabeus, entered into the Holy of Holies. What they had there was an obelisk. And you'll see that today outside of some Jewish synagogues. They'll have obelisks, just like a stone pillar. And that's what they had in the Holy of Holies. Well, nothing like an Ark of the Covenant. Nothing like any of that. And, of course, he walks in expecting to see some idol in their deepest, inmost sanctum. And his sneer was, they don't even have a god in the middle of their worship. Right? Well, they had an obelisk, a black obelisk, probably mimicking some of the mystery religions of old. Okay, well, with all of that, sorry, didn't mean to get off on that historical rant. So, what is thy mother? She is a lioness. She lay down among young lions. What's happening here at the beginning is a lioness. I mean, that's a good description. That's a desirable description. A lioness was thought of as a fierce and hardworking animal in the ancient world. And so she lay down among the young lions, that is the powerful, the strong ones. And she bore her whelps, her lion cubs. And she raised up one of them, and he was pretty successful. He had a reign that, you know, he caught men. He did some things. He had some exploits. And yet, notice in verse 7, he knew their desolate places. He laid waste their cities. But then the nations set against him on every side from the provinces, spread their net over him, and he was taken. They put him in ward, in chains, and brought him unto the king of Babylon. They brought him into holds, that his voice should no more be heard upon the mountains of Israel. Of course, that's the second one. The first one is taken away to Egypt, and that's in verse 4. So two sons successively, two sons of this lioness nation. And remember that there's a point at which the Lord will call Israel Ariel, Ariel. And Ariel is the lioness of God. So I think it's pretty obvious who these figures are then. First of all, Israel, or the people of God, is the lioness. The two whelps, the two lion cubs, are two successive kings. One is taken down to Egypt, that is Jehoahaz, and then one is taken to Babylon, and that is Eliakim, later called Jehoiakim. And so note that these behave themselves as ungovernable beasts, seeking out the desolate places, not caring for the nation as it was given to them to govern, and they were both taken away, one unto Babylon, one into Egypt. So rather than doing, they were kings that did exploits, and they were mighty kings, but notice what they did not do. They were They rather behave themselves as beasts rather than as good kings. So then in verse 10, thy mother is like a vine in thy blood. And in thy blood here is a translational anomaly, but I think in thy blood is fine if we're going to consider that it is in the bloodline of the kings. In other words, we're still running in the line of Judah here, in the line of David. Right? And so thy mother is like a vine in thy blood planted by the waters. And so she had those advantages. It was according to that right bloodline, and she was planted by the waters. She had all of those advantages. She was fruitful and full of branches. She had strong rods for her scepters that bear rule, and her stature was exalted among the thick branches and she appeared in her height with the multitude of her branches. Of course, this would be at the height of the monarchy in the southern kingdom. Now, we might argue as to when that was. Some would say it was in the days of Solomon. Some would say the days of Hezekiah. Some would say the days of Josiah. I don't think we need to decide on any of those here. But we do need to understand that the Lord is advertising a successful monarchy and a successful spreading about. And she was, although a vine, she had thick branches you could make scepters out of. Okay, and that speaks of that she ruled herself, right? Her sons came from her own tree, if you will. But, verse 12, she was plucked up in fury, cast down to the ground, and the east wind dried up her fruit. Her strong rods were broken and withered. Those are the kings, right? Those scepters, which would symbolize those kings. And the fire consumed them. And now, here in the captivity, she is planted in the wilderness in a dry and thirsty ground. Now, wait a minute. You said dry and thirsty ground, Pastor, but aren't they by the river Kebar? Aren't they in Babylon, the place of the one of the seven wonders of the world, the gardens, the hanging gardens of Babylon? How can it be a dry and thirsty ground? Are they not on the river Euphrates? How is it a dry and thirsty ground? If you know anything about the ancient Babylonia and that area, you know it's the jewel in the midst of a dry and thirsty ground. It's dry and thirsty because they are away from the Lord. It's dry and thirsty because they are out of the land of promise. It's dry and thirsty because it's out of their inheritance and it is a place of captivity. And that's why it's dry and thirsty. And so fire has gone out of a rod of her branches, which hath devoured her fruit. That's an interesting way to say that she has become her own worst enemy. Remember what Zedekiah was commanded to do. Zedekiah would be considered one of those rods, one of those scepters, one of those branches. But what did Zedekiah do? Instead of following the counsel of Jeremiah and going out to the king of Babylon, what did he do instead? He waited, incensed the army that had besieged them, finally snuck out at the end of the day, at the end of the siege, when the food failed and he was captured. And so then they rushed the city and took everything apart. So it was the fire that came out from one of her own branches. And now she has no strong rod to be a scepter to rule. Right? No godly king to rule over her any longer. And so we end where we began. This is a lamentation, and it will continue a lamentation for quite some time, is the implication of the end of chapter 19. So she will indeed remain under this kind of vassalship. And remember, that will take place pretty much for the rest of Israel's days, the next almost 600 years, 570 or so years, 580 or so years, until the destruction of 70 AD, which, you know, add another 70 to that. So another 650 or so years, she will remain under that condition of not having her own king any longer. She will be a vassal state until she is finally destroyed. This is a lamentation, and shall be for a lamentation. Thus ends the reading then of Ezekiel 19.